Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Peace World Radio. Vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jans is an energetic, vibrant, and engaging show that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought and action, who are using their lives to raise the frequency of our world. Here you will meet authors, actors, scientists, activists, and so many more who dare to dream that things can be different, who think beyond what they were taught and have the courage to not settle. If you too believe that a world of peace is possible and have been looking for inspiration to become part of this extraordinary step in the evolution of humanity, then you're in the right place, because that's what Peace World Radio is all about. Peace World Radio. Join the talk the world is having. Now here is your host, Christina Jans.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Peace World Radio. I'm your host, Christina Jans, and I'm so happy you're able to spend some time with me today. 6 years ago, my father passed away, and while he was alive, and certainly one of the things I missed the most, is that we would have the greatest talks, and they were usually on a Sunday. We called them our Sunday chats, and during these conversations, we'd speak of so many things, we'd laugh and discuss what was going on in our lives, but somehow our conversations would always come around to the deeper issues and the meaning of life. On the night he passed away, it was just the two of us in the hospital room, and even though it was some years ago now, I remember it as if it just happened yesterday. The sight of all those intravenous bags and tubes running into him like highways. The sound of the beeping heart monitor and that low, raspy voice of the respirator. These sights and sounds that were strangely both intrusive and comforting to me at the same time remain so vivid, so clear in my memory today. I remember years ago a nurse telling me that hearing is the last sense to go. So even though he had a breathing tube in him and he wasn't conscious, I just kept on talking to him about the things he loved and the conversations we had had. And I told him that it was okay to rest now, to just rest and let go, and everything was going to be fine. And that's how he passed away. A young nurse came into the room shortly after, and she began clearing things up, removing the tubes and shutting off all the machines. And I pointed to the long tape that had come out of the heart monitor that had been recording his heartbeat. And I asked her what was going to happen to that tape. And she said, oh, it'll be attached to his record and filed away. And with that, she just returned to her work. But a moment later, she turned back to me and asked, why? And I replied that I would like to have the last heartbeat of my father in this lifetime. She didn't reply, but a little while later, she went over to the heart machine, tore off the tape, she carefully folded it, and then walked over to me and placed it in my hand, saying, you should have this. In these past years since his death, I have often looked at that heart monitor tape, at the energized engagement of my father's heart with this lifetime, and in particular, the point when it transitioned into one long, peaceful silence. And I've wondered to myself, from this new vantage point, what would he say about the life he lived? If we were to have one of our great Sunday chats now, what would my dad be telling me about what really matters in life? What were the things that ended up meaning the most to him that made it worthwhile that he had lived this life? And what were the things that he stressed about and, you know, maybe even sees me stressing about these days that in the end didn't matter at all? Well, my Sunday chats with my father are over for this lifetime anyway, but my very special guest today is someone who can answer some of these questions. From the moment we connected, I have been looking forward to this show, and I can't wait to introduce you to her. Her name is Dr. Karen Wyatt, and as a hospice physician, she has spent many, many hours with patients at the end of their lives. And from them, she has learned about what really matters, particularly in their final days. Dr. Wyatt says that we can discover this now, and with this knowledge, begin to fulfill our purpose and potential without having to wait for our last breath. Oh my goodness, how great that would be. And on that note, Karen, welcome to Peace World Radio. It is really a joy to have you here today.
Thank you for having me on your show, Christina.
Great. So there was a time when we lived in family larger units than we do today, where children, parents, grandparents, and maybe even a great-grandparent might be living in the same home. And as a result, death was as much a part of life as birth. But our structure of our family units have changed now. We're more isolated. Do you think that in living lives that are separated from the direct experience of death, that somehow we're losing out on an opportunity to more deeply and consciously value life?
I do feel that because it seems to me that now we're so distanced from death that we have an even greater fear of it. It's a normal human instinct to fear death, but I think our fear has become even greater and our avoidance because we don't see it often enough and we're not familiar with it in our day-to-day lives. And to me, that's a big problem because I think sometimes we run away from it and retreat into too much materialism and too much focus on the superficial aspects of life to try to fill ourselves up and to try to occupy ourselves so that we don't have to think about the real meaning of life and death.
Mm-hmm. And in your book, your beautiful book, which is titled What Really Matters, Seven Lessons for the Living from Stories of the Dying, you speak of the gift of mortality.
It occurred to me, and I actually learned this just by being with so many patients at the end of their lives, and many of them told me that life became so much more precious to them once they found out that they were dying, once they found out they were near the end of life. And it occurred to me that our own lives do seem to have so much value to us against that backdrop of the fact that this won't last forever, that I have to cherish every moment because this is all that I have right here and now. And that became so special for the patients at the end of their lives, the fact that they just wanted to live every moment and cherish everything and every aspect of their life. And it made me realize we should all be living that way all the time right now, not just waiting till we're at the end of our life to experience that.
Isn't that the truth? Now, you're mentioning your work with your hospice patients. How did you get involved in this?
Well, it started quite a number of years ago, and because I was a fairly new doctor in practice when my own father committed suicide, and I had a terrible time dealing with my grief and guilt over his death. And after about 3 years of not being able to get over it, I got the idea in my mind that maybe I should volunteer for hospice as a way to try to find my way out of my grief. I thought if I just go immerse myself in death and dying and sadness and grief, maybe I will figure out how to get over it. And so that's what led me actually to volunteer for hospice. And it was kind of a sink or swim attitude, like I'm going into what I'm having a difficult time with instead of running away from it. And as soon as I started working in hospice, I knew it was the right place for me to be. And it was I had amazing experiences and learned so much from the patients that I got to work with that indeed it did help me heal my grief, but it also helped me transform my life spiritually by learning from them.
You know, and there's, my goodness, so many questions that I have just about what you said there. But what are some of the ways in which your life transformed?
Well, one important thing, we already talked about just the idea of beginning to cherish every moment of life and realizing that I, too, am going to die, and I have no idea when that will be. So I need to embrace everything in my life and make the most of it instead of the idea that there have been times when I have wished away an experience, like, oh, I wish this were over. I wish I didn't have to do this. I don't want to be here. And I realized the foolishness of thinking that way, that instead I need to engage with everything, no matter where I am or what's happening, and try to find something meaningful and positive from that. And the second really important lesson that I learned, that I needed to learn, was about forgiveness, because I saw every patient I worked with struggled in some way or another with forgiveness, either forgiving other people, forgiving themselves, being forgiven by someone else. And I saw how powerful it was and how much work people had to do at the end of their lives in order to accomplish forgiveness, that it made me decide, I want to be in a forgiving attitude all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I've started that practice of constantly working on forgiveness so that I haven't saved it all up for the last few days of my life.
So true. I mean, this is a really important point, because I think, tell me what you think about that forgiveness is not only important as to how we live our lives, but how we leave this life.
Yes, absolutely. And, oh, for so many people, I just saw it become a crisis in the last few weeks of their lives to want to feel forgiven by someone they hadn't spoken to for years and years. That was suddenly so important on their minds that they really needed a resolution before they could go peacefully.
And to be thinking that when you're already in a weakened state, you know, if we can avoid that, why not?
Yes, exactly.
Such an important point. We're going to pause for a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be exploring more about what really matters with Dr. Karen Wyatt. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Are you struggling through difficult times? During these times of change, many of us need tools and support to help us get through. Julie Kleinhans is the host of the hit radio show, Teaching from the Heart with Julie Kay, and is a world-renowned life coach. Many of us are worrying about what will happen to our jobs, our homes, and to our lives. This is why Julie is offering a 40% discount through January 31st of 2013 to support you and your family through these difficult times. She'll teach you how to use energy tools that will help you relieve the stress and anxiety in your life. Julie is donating the net proceeds to victims of Superstorm Sandy through the organization All Hands Volunteers, a U.S.-based nonprofit dedicated to empowering disaster relief volunteers and rebuilding communities. Please call Julie at 516-639-8042, 516-639-8042, or email Julie at mindfocusgeneration.com for more details and to schedule a session.
Tune in each Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Awakening Radio with Patricia. This hit show awakens your dormant, divine, feminine energy. The Awakening Show is the next step on your evolutionary journey through life. Get ready to awaken the dormant seedings within you, your soul's encodement, power, and purpose, and bring this forward with confidence and clarity through the power of your own voice. This show promises to boldly go where you've been before. You just need to remember. Be inspired. Become rewired with The Awakening Radio. Visit awakeningradio.com for weekly topics.
You're listening to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world. I'm Christina Jans, and my guest today is Dr. Karen Wyatt. Before we continue, Karen, I want to make sure that everyone knows how to contact you. Can you give our listeners your website address?
Yes, it's KarenWyattMD.com. Wyatt is spelled W-Y-A-T-T.
Excellent.
And there's a contact form there. They can reach me through.
Oh, good. Good. That's great. Okay, so let's get into some of these wonderful lessons that you have learned from those who are at the end of their lives. One of the things you mentioned that I thought was really important was the whole idea of suffering. So in the course of our lives, we all go through difficult times and even experience, you know, situations that bring us great suffering when we don't even know how we're going to go on. How do these past experiences of suffering look to someone at the end of their lives? Does the perspective change at all?
Yes, it seemed to for many people, and that was something I was very fascinated by as I sat and talked to my patients and listened to them. I was surprised how many of them told me they were actually grateful for their health issues. They were actually grateful for cancer or heart disease or whatever the health issue was that was taking their lives. And they told me because having to deal with that illness and suffering from it is what made them more grateful for life and more aware of the value of life. And so they felt that they found kind of a spiritual aspect to life through the act of coping with the illness that they had. And that made me realize that suffering is really, it's built into our lives here on planet Earth. Like, this really is a planet of suffering. If I look out at nature, even, everything dies, and you can view it as a form of suffering everywhere that you look, and that we're really here to learn how to suffer and how to embrace it and how to move beyond it. And that's what I saw my hospice patients doing so often, was kind of transcending their own suffering by even finding meaning through the suffering.
I think that's such a great point that you bring up, you know, that even in nature we see events that we consider suffering, that things die. And I'm wondering whether suffering is, the way we've understood it so far, is something we might need to reframe. Is suffering just another way of, for instance, saying evolution, in the sense that to evolve means that we have to leave where we were to become a greater expression of ourselves, and that almost is always uncomfortable?
I think that's a beautiful way to put it, because I was thinking, you know, as far as the patients I worked with who had been able to spiritually transcend the idea of suffering, that what we call suffering was not suffering for them anymore. It was just part of the process of their lives. And they really wouldn't look back and say, oh gosh, I suffered so much at this time. They wouldn't refer to it that way. So they actually did, as you said, reframe it. And I think that's beautiful to say our suffering really is our path of evolution here, right, on this planet. It's how we grow.
Mm-hmm. And wouldn't that be wonderful if that we could embrace that idea while we're living instead of at the end days, so that our experience of life or while we're living isn't one of trying to numb or avoid pain or moments of suffering, but embracing it as moments of great evolution, in the sense that labor pains precede birth.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And as a doctor, and I've done primary care practice as well, I can tell you how many people come to the doctor and seek treatment and medication for their suffering, and they're actually trying to find a way out of the suffering and a way to avoid it. And medicine, our healthcare system kind of goes along with that gladly, like, oh, here's a way to not have to deal with your suffering. But I really came to think over time that wasn't really helping people, that we need the courage to face our suffering, and we need support and help to actually look at it and deal with it more than we need something to numb us from it and remove us from it.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because it was something that I wanted to ask you. You say in your book, we cannot reach the heights of spiritual awareness without first descending to the depths of our suffering, and that practices that seek to only eliminate suffering, and in that you include Western medicine, are slightly misguided. I'm wondering, as you look at Western medicine from having been both inside of it and now with this new, broader perspective, how do you see Western medicine, in a sense, not fully understanding it? And what would you like to see change with regard to suffering?
Well, I feel that Western medicine, I mean, I think there's a noble motivation,
yes,
in all of medicine to want to help people through their suffering. But I think where Western medicine has gone astray a little bit is by leaving out entirely a spiritual focus or aspect. So Western medicine can't even acknowledge or understand that, interpret that, oh, this illness is part of your growth. It's part of how you're evolving as a person. And so Western medicine now has just taken on this role of trying to do anything and everything at any cost to eliminate the suffering. And it's futile. It doesn't work. It will never happen. Mm-hmm. That we can't eliminate the suffering. And so we just spin our wheels in circles in Western medicine. And I would just love to see, you know, it's kind of my goal to open the eyes of as many physicians as I can to just this different way of looking at suffering. If they could just see it's part of a person's spiritual growth and evolution, and if they could even tell their patients that and pass that on, I think it could make a huge difference.
Oh, absolutely. Now, let's talk about love. When it comes to love, you say in your book, let your heart be broken. Tell me about that.
Well, what occurred to me is that genuine love, when we really wholeheartedly love others on this planet, we make ourselves very vulnerable to loss, because the reality is we are going to lose the people that we love in one way or another. And so to fully love, we have to be willing to take that risk that we will be broken by love. It can break us apart and hurt us. But again, that part of that suffering process that allows us to grow and evolve is being willing to be vulnerable and to take the risk and fully love others and fully connect and engage with them, knowing that pain may and probably will come to us through that action. We have to be willing to invite that kind of pain into our lives.
Yes, and you just mentioned the word connect. And a beautiful passage in your book is when you say, at the end of life, connections are more important than collections.
And, oh, that came because so many times, you know, it's one of the beauties of being a hospice physician is I got to visit my patients in their homes, and I got to see where they lived. And so many times the families, before I would meet the patient, would show me around the house, and many, many patients had collections. I saw one woman with an incredible doll collection, and one man had a collection of miniature cars, and the family would proudly show me their loved one's collection before I went in to visit them. But as soon as I got in to see the patient, I realized the patient didn't care at all about their collection. Even if it was something they might have spent most of their life collecting, these items, at this moment, at the end of life, it didn't matter to them at all. They had no interest in talking about it or telling me anything about it. And that was fascinating to me, something that had been a hobby that they'd invested themselves in for their whole lives suddenly just wasn't important to them. And that was that opened my eyes to it.
I think that's such an important point. I mean, when you think on how much we, you know, like you say, put in our time to our hobbies, the things that bring us interest here, but also, you know, the thought of, oh, I need to get this, or make the house look this way, or do this, all these things outside of ourselves, when what you're saying, it's those relationships, the connections that mean the most.
Yes, it's what's inside. It's the deeper matters of life that really, really are important at the very end.
And do you see the people who, perhaps going back to what you said earlier about forgiveness, who have not resolved those relationships, or where the anger and resentment are still burning inside them, that they have a more difficult time? Because if connections and relationships are what mean the most at the end of life, then where are they if those resolutions haven't taken place?
Yes, that I saw it over and over again. I saw patients who really struggled at the end of life
Karen, I'm going to pause you right there. Sorry, we're going to stop for a short break, and when we return, we'll have more insights from you about the lessons you've learned from those who are dying. We'll be right back.
Change your coffee experience forever with Camino Island Coffee Roaster. Fair trade, certified organic, shade-grown delicious coffee. The Camino Island Coffee Roasters are giving back. Receive a free pound of the most popular single origin coffee, Papua New Guinea, to the first 100 callers. The number is toll-free, 855-438-8671. Just pay $8.95 shipping and handling, and you can try triple certified coffee for yourself. The number is toll-free, 855-438-8671. This is a free pound of coffee that retails at $16.95. Once you've tried this coffee, you will automatically be enrolled in the Coffee Lovers Club for free and will always receive free shipping and nearly 30% off retail of your coffee orders. This coffee is going to knock your socks off. That number again is 855-GET-TOP-1. We say top one because this coffee is the top 1% grade. That's 855-438-8671.
The Michael Shane Show. Conversations with the Ascended Masters on Transformation Talk. Radio.com. On the third and fourth Monday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. To connect with the Ascended Masters and raise your vibration, call in for a live on-air reading with Michael and the Ascended Masters. Visit michaelshane.com. That's M-Y-C-H-A-E-L. Shane.com or call 800-508-6437 to schedule a full healing session.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to aspiremag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us on Peace World Radio, my very special guest today is Dr. Karen Wyatt, who is here to share with us what she has learned about what really matters in life through her work with hospice patients. And what an incredible perspective this is giving us, Karen. One of the things that you mention is one of the lessons is about paradise and dwelling in the present moment. What have you learned from people who are dying about what, why it's so important to dwell in the present moment?
Well, first of all, that the present moment is really all we have. We really, you know, the past no longer exists. It's just a memory in our mind, and the future hasn't occurred yet. And this present moment is really all that is right now. And the present moment is also where we're able to be creative. And if we spend too much of our energy and our time and emotion in the past, we burn ourselves up and don't have enough energy present right now in order to be creative and make changes in our life and grow. And if we spend too much of our time worrying about the future, the same thing happens. We keep projecting fear into the future instead of just focusing on what's here right now. And my patients, I was just astounded at seeing how much pleasure and joy they got out of even the smallest occurrence in the present moment, and how much they enjoyed everything. And it made me think, if I'm just here and focused, like my cup of tea this morning could be just the most amazing tea I've ever tasted, and it could just be wonderful. And you know, so I found that focusing on and being fully present with whatever I'm doing makes everything I do so much more enjoyable.
So true. Now, while we were on break, you and I were speaking about the role of caregivers and you know, everything that they go through. And so I'm wondering about dwelling in the present moment and you know, how does one find a way to be grateful for the present moment when, for instance, they're dealing with a loved one who may have Alzheimer's and the stress that puts on them?
Yeah, it's definitely challenging, very challenging. What I observed from some of the patients, some of the caregivers I worked with who were patients, is that they focused on the little things, like the little moments with their loved one, the smallest little things that happened. And that actually, I was telling you, I was a caregiver for my own mother when she passed away in January. And I found that there, some of the smallest little incidents were profound, just the way my mom would smile at me sometimes. And I put her eye cream on for her at night before she went to bed, and it was the most wonderful little moment, like touching her eyes and pat dabbing her cream on for her so gently, and this opportunity to be so loving and gentle and compassionate toward her and repay her for all the love that she's given me all my life. It was amazing, and it was the smallest little moment and such a tiny gesture, but it meant everything to me, and it was profound.
And isn't that beautiful? You know, sometimes we think that acts of love and expressions of love are something so great and grandiose in order to make a statement, and yet love can reside and blossom in just those tiniest of moments. That's what counts, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I did find it actually got easier to be in the present moment in some ways, because I got a little bit sleep deprived and I started sort of losing track of time a little bit. And then all I had was, I wasn't sure if it was day or night or what time it was or when to eat. It just, then I was just in the moment taking care of whatever needed to be done right now. And that actually felt perfect. That was actually the very best way to care for her.
And it's sometimes easier to be in the moment when we get out of our heads, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, yes, exactly.
You mentioned that where this promise of paradise is concerned, that you will always get what you need rather than what you want. And this seems a little bit different from all the abundance philosophies we hear about. Can you tell me more about that?
Well, that's the thing, not only through hospice work, but other times in my life I've come to realize, is that we really do have what we need. We really have it within us already. And that sometimes I see people using the the abundance philosophy, a little bit too much projecting into the future and hoping for something that will come in the future. And to me, that goes against the idea of right now, taking an assessment of what's here right now and what do I have right now and how is this absolutely perfect? Like, this is absolutely what I need to have right now. And there was just a little story with my mom. When I went home to take care of her, I got a call that I needed to come right away, and I had a 5-hour drive to get there to take care of her. And the hospice nurse couldn't stay with mom. She was going to have to be alone while I was driving during those 5 hours. I was frantic. I was a wreck driving there all the way. But I got to her house to find out that a friend of hers, for some reason, was driving by and thought, I think I'll go visit Margaret, and just stopped in. And she was there and stayed with her until I got there. And suddenly I realized, oh, yes, we have what we need. It happens for us. Things work, and it happens.
Isn't that a beautiful story about how life and the universe flows, you know, and we don't have to be there to control everything. Sometimes it's in letting go that we get everything we need.
Exactly, exactly.
Yes. Now, speaking of letting go, one of the lessons in your book and actually a concept that I, you know, that I work with a lot in terms of my own personal spiritual journey is that of surrender. And letting go of expectations. Tell me what you have learned about the meaning of surrender from those who are coming to the end of their lives.
Well, in the first place, it becomes absolutely necessary for patients at the end of life to surrender. They don't really have a choice because they keep losing things, losing their health and losing their physical abilities to function, and have no choice but to accept that. But the more willing they are to embrace it and allow it to happen and just accept that, okay, this is how things are now, this is how it is now, the more they're able to stay in the present moment and embrace it and enjoy it. And it's been such a helpful lesson to me because I feel like I've my whole life being a person of expectations with huge expectations for everything that I do and plans and goals, and I've had to reevaluate that and realize it's fine to have a plan, but I have to let go of it as soon as I make the plan and allow that it may not turn out that way. My plan is just there to somewhat guide me, but I'm okay if it doesn't turn out that way. That's where I've had to really struggle.
Sure. I think that's probably true for most of us, that fear of letting go. And you know, one of the things that you speak about is impermanence and the need for us to face our fears. And, of course, in life, there is an impermanence to it. Everything is always changing. But with that can trigger great fears, that sense of, you know, letting go, not knowing what's going to happen. Is it possible in the face of fear to find inspiration, to find fulfillment and hope?
I believe that it is, because I think that fear is really an instinct for us. So I think it's a primitive instinct that we fear our death, and we will always have to cope with that. We will always have to manage our fear. But we have to actively work at it, because we'll fall back into fear as kind of our baseline state if we aren't constantly working at bringing in more positive ideas and finding a bigger outlook on life and finding the hope that's there for us.
Mm-hmm. Now, you speak of death being a teacher. How is death a teacher?
For me, in my own life, I guess I use it as my standard sometimes, in a way that I try to remind myself all the time I have no idea when death may come. But when I'm in a situation that's unpleasant for me, I try to always measure it like, well, you know, I'm not dying. This isn't death. This isn't the end of everything. I'm just stuck in traffic, or I just broke my favorite plate, or I just, you know, I this is all that happened. It wasn't that big a deal. So I use like the end of life as kind of that's the ultimate passage that's going to come for me. This, what just happened to me, this is so minor, it's so small. And so I try to let death teach me how to see from a new perspective that all of these other things that happened in my life are just really not that significant and don't matter.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know exactly what you're speaking of. A couple of months ago, or actually I think it was in January, I had a chance to interview Emmanuel Jal, who was a boy soldier in South Sudan and lived through absolutely shocking brutality to become now a peacemaker in life. And you know, I used to use that term for things that I was going through of, oh, it's so brutal what I'm dealing with. After having read that book and interviewing him, I will never use that word in the same way again. Because I think to myself, like you just said, well, you know, it is what it is. It's tough. It's frustrating. But it's not brutal, because what he went through, that was brutal. And I think that change in perspective is it's a maturity as well, isn't it? That we're not quite as self-focused. We have a broader perspective.
Definitely. Powerful.
Okay. We're going to stop for another break now. When we come back, we'll have more with Dr. Karen Wyatt and her fabulous book, What Really Matters, 7 Lessons from the Living or from Stories of the Dying. We'll be right back.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
The Michael Shane Show, conversations with the Ascended Masters on Transformation Talk, radio.com, on the third and fourth Monday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. To connect with the Ascended Masters and raise your vibration, call in for a live on-air reading with Michael and the Ascended Masters. Visit michaelshane.com. That's M-Y-C-H-A-E-L, shane.com. Or call 800-508-6437 to schedule a full healing session.
Did anyone teach you to be a parent? What if there were tools that could make your job a whole lot easier? Glenna Rice invites you to be the questionable parent you truly be in a dynamic teleseries designed to empower parents to know that they know and give you the awareness required to create ease and joy between you and your children. Check out GlennaRice.com to learn more and to book a private session. Or dial 415-235-2807.
Get ready for Intuitive Solutions with Deborah Diane every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Create your best life by releasing subconscious limiting beliefs and patterns quickly and easily. Each show features a live call-in segment so that you can experience Deborah's intuitive insight and powerful clearing. Deborah's quick wit and spot-on intuition make every show both powerful and fun. For more information, visit ConsciousRepatterning.com.
Hi, I'm Michelle Bond. I'm the Vedic astrologer who shines a light on what you put into your body. I help you see the blueprint of your life, what your life purpose is, when the times of prosperity are, and how to navigate through the challenges. You feel in control and inspired to live the life you want to live. Come experience an aha moment with me on my show, The Michelle Bond Show, Awaken to a New Reality, every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio.
If you are new to quantum techniques, it's easy to get a free 30-minute one-on-one session with a QT practitioner. All you need to do is make a minimum purchase of $25 from our online store at quantumtechniques.com, and you will receive a session with a QT practitioner that is worth $200. Click on the Discover Health Today in the Moving Banner section near the top of our website's homepage to get more information. Take advantage of this today.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Peace World Radio. I'm Christina Jans, and I've been having a wonderful conversation with Dr. Karen Wyatt. Karen, if you had to list the top three, and I'm going to say regrets, but I'm going to explain that in a second, top three regrets that people have when they come to the ends of their lives. And what I mean by that is if they had a chance to go back and do things differently, they would. What would they be? And I'm asking you this with our listeners in mind right now, of perhaps things that they can relate to and maybe start making some changes on today.
All right. The first thing would be, I would say, love. That so many patients told me they regretted not letting other people know that they loved them, and that was a big concern for them, that they hadn't shown people love during their lifetime. And for some, they had put other things ahead of love and put their work or money or their possessions ahead of the people that they loved. And they felt a great deal of regret about that and wish that they could do that over again. And along with that, the second one, again, that we've already talked about would be forgiveness then, because sometimes it was a lack of forgiveness that made someone avoid a loved one for years and years. And suddenly when people are at the end of life and looking back on things, it almost seems silly, like, why was I so mad at my sister for all these years? Like suddenly the things that we take so seriously at other times in our lives don't make sense anymore at the end of life. And so I saw so many people wanting to repair those relationships, wanting to go back and find a way to have forgiveness. And then I think the third would be to understand that our lives are really about what we're creating in the present moment right now, how we live each moment, and not so much about finding a great purpose or, you know, finding the perfect job or the right career, as much as it is about how do I live every single moment of my life. And so I saw people who told me they had been so focused on trying to create a career or trying to make that happen that they forgot to enjoy every moment of life. They were so focused on trying to create something for the future that actually never came to pass, that they completely missed all the joy in all the small moments of life. So I would say those are the three things, and those have been the most important things for me that made a big impact on me, too, is remembering to focus on love and to make sure everyone I love knows that I love them and that I'm showing that to them, and to take care of forgiveness on a daily basis and keep working at that at all times. And then instead of focusing so much on projecting into the future, just making the most of this moment and what I'm doing in the here and now.
So beautifully put, and actually I think you were touching upon a thought that just came to me that I wanted to ask you about, and that is, you know, after having this wonderful experience and the honor, isn't it, to have been let into people's hearts and lives at what is a very vulnerable time, and for them to share this, their thoughts and their feelings with you, I've been wondering about how this changed you and if you are different as a result of it.
Yes, I feel so different. That this experience, in the first place, it helped me heal the grief I was talking about from my father's death, and really helped me recover from that, I would say. Though, of course, there's still some pain and loss. I still feel the loss of him, but it helped heal my grief. But it completely changed my outlook on life and transformed how I view my life, so that I really do live with these spiritual principles in my life practically all the time, and I find that I'm able to just have so much joy in every moment, regardless of what's happening. And I don't worry about things as much. I'm not stressed. I don't feel anxiety. I feel so much more able to just let life flow and let things be. And that's completely different than the way I lived before I learned these lessons.
really. How wonderful that it was so transformative for you. And now if we are to take your eyes and sort of turn them outwards towards society with what you have learned about death and dying, what are some of the things that you would like to see change about how our society, how our mindset deals with death and dying?
Well, I would love to see people become more comfortable with the subject of death and dying so that we could talk about it more openly and have conversations, and it would be easier for all of us to prepare ahead of time for dying and be prepared and be in the right mindset. I feel like our healthcare system here in the U.S. really needs to change because right now we're so oppositional to the idea of dying that we spend a huge amount of money trying to keep people alive because we are we're avoidant and afraid almost of facing the reality that everyone will die, and we need to allow people to die, and we need to help them stay comfortable but not try to fight that natural process so much. And then I think for individuals, I think that others could find what I have found, which is a deeper meaning and joy in life if they were more able to just look at death and accept it. And I feel like that's really missing in many ways in our society. I feel like so many people are living fairly empty lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel sadness about that when I see people busy and constantly trying to fill their lives up with superficial and material things that if they only knew how different this will look to them when they're in their last moments of life, they would change everything right now.
And certainly the information that you have brought forth to us and just in what you said moments ago about focusing on love, on forgiveness, and on being fully present here, I think those are the things, you know, and I thank you for this, Karen, and for our listeners for bringing to our attention the kernels, the most important things that we need to get straight with now, so that when it is our time to leave, whenever that may be, that we can leave with an open heart. Karen, I can't believe we come to the end of our show already. I want to thank you so much for being here and sharing this precious knowledge with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Lovely. Truly, what a gift it is to have these insights available to us in this beautiful book by Dr. Karen Wyatt, What Really Matters, 7 Lessons for the Living from Stories of the Dying. And my question to you is this: when you approach the end of your life, whenever that may be, what do you want to say about the life you've lived? And if your priorities, your beliefs, and your behaviors today are not aligned with this, perhaps it's time to make some changes. Do not leave this life with regrets. Make sure that when your physical heart transitions from an engaged energy with this lifetime to a peaceful silence, that your soul's heart is filled with the greatest joy and sense of fulfillment for the life you've lived. Remember to join me every second Monday of the month at 11 a.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern Time for more vibrant conversations to change the world. And if you'd like to contact me, you can always go to peaceworldradio.com. And while you're there, check out our upcoming guests, listen to archive shows, and be sure to follow me on Facebook. I'm Christina Jans, and this is Peace World Radio. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Peace World Radio. Vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jans. Tune in each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW for another energetic, vibrant, and engaging show that's getting people talking. Internationally renowned host Christina Jans brings you extraordinary and courageous people who are using their lives to raise the frequency of our world. For more information about Christina and the show, visit peaceworldradio.com and join the talk the world is having.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
Stop. Get out of that car. Stop living your life in the passenger seat. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com and let us help you drive.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that.
Love is officially in the air. Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show is showing you love all year long, not just for Valentine's Day. Dr. Pat, known for her Pay It Forward manifesto, is now joined by the hosts on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm in love, baby, with Transformation Talk Radio. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. Amazing host, incredible guest. Get your groove on. Feel the love, be the love.
Can't get enough of your love, babe.
There's a great hunger in this world for new lines of thought, because everywhere you look, they say that joy can just be bought. So please come and set aside some time to relax from frenetic. Transform your life. It takes a while, but results are magnetic. We aim to grasp the best in life and track the ways we grew. The how, the why, the what, wherefore, all this we share and do. But every now and then, we hope that you will share right back. Transformation Talk Radio wants you to hop on track. So calling all hosts, tall and small, of every size and hue, there's nobody we'd rather have to tell your tale than you. And if you have a tale to tell of how your life is changing, we'd love to hear you on the line, say how you're rearranging. So run, don't walk, to call us now. We'll set you up and show you how.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Join our radio family. Send us an email, host@transformationtalkradio.com, or call 1-800-930-2819. Host your own show. Let us help you bring your voice to the world.